好，今天是4月2号，星期四，欢迎收看《美国观察》。白宫新冠工作小组预计，美国新冠疫情的死亡人数可能达到10万到24万人。我们请美国之音白宫记者黄耀毅为我们介绍。
星期一，国家的过敏以及传染病预防研究所的主任佛契博士说，由于病毒的感染力呢，预期新冠的疫情在今年秋天会卷土重来，恶度爆发。此外呢，在星期二的白宫新闻简报会上，白宫的官员也说，在如果每一个美国人都能够在防疫工作上做到完美的情况之下，美国境内因为新型冠状病毒死亡的人数可能会介于10万人到24万人之间。不过现在美国国内依然有人认为说，政府应该采取不作为，不要让经济停止，继续经济活动，让病毒扩散之后呢，人们会自然而然地产生抵抗力。不过呢，根据白宫专家的分析，如果政府采取不作为的做法的话，最终将会导致美国死150万到220万人。我们来看一下白宫新型冠状病毒工作小组的协调官比尔克斯博士在白宫简报会上是怎么说的。
Of course, this is a projection, and it's a projection based on using very much what's happened in Italy and then looking at all the models. And so, as you saw on that slide, that was our real number, that 100,000 to 200,000. And we think that that is the range. We really believe and hope every day that we can do a lot better than that. Because that's not assuming 100% of every American does everything that they're supposed to be doing.But I think that's possible.
比尔克斯博士在白宫的简报上表示呢，这个假设是基于说，现在所有的美国人都100%在防疫的这个工作上面呢，做到尽善尽美，十全十美。那不过呢，我们现在知道，实际上还有很多的美国人并没有这样子的做。那例如说，像是特朗普总统的支持者呢，基督教的牧师小杰瑞法威尔呢，他就宣布重开他的基督教的学校自由大学的校园。那么呢，有学生的家长在推特上建议他不要这样做，还受到法威尔牧师的斥责。根据《纽约时报》3月29号星期天的报道，已经有一名自由大学的学生确诊感染了新型冠状病毒，有3名正在接受检测，另外有8名已经进行了自我隔离。特朗普总统在星期二的白宫简报会上则是呼吁，对于美国人民来说，在接下来的30天遵守这些指导方针是绝对重要的，这是生死攸关的问题。他并且说呢，未来的2周将会十分的关键。我们看一下特朗普总统在白宫的新闻简报会上是怎么说的。
I want every American to be prepared for the hard days that lie ahead. We're going to go through a very tough 2 weeks. And then hopefully, as the experts are predicting, as I think a lot of us are predicting after having studied it so hard, you're going to start seeing some real light at the end of the tunnel. But this is going to be a very painful, very, very painful 2 weeks.
那么从这个疫情在美国扩散以来呢，我们看到白宫官员一直在告诉民众说，美国民众不需要携带口罩，如果你没有生病的话。但是呢，随着美国的这个新冠病毒的疫情快速的扩散，现在我们在街上也可以看到越来越多的美国人会戴着口罩出门。那么呢，美国的公共卫生专家也开始依据日本、韩国、台湾等国的例子呢，来表示来讨论说，美国民众是否可以来携带，或者是应该要来戴口罩。那么白宫新型冠状病毒工作小组的协调官比尔克斯博士则表示呢，他在星期二的时候说，现在这个白宫的新冠病毒协调小组正在考虑是否要修改建议美国民众不要戴口罩的政策。那么我们特朗普总统呢，在这个白宫的简报会上也特别针对美国民众是否应该全民戴口罩发表了他的看法。我们看一下特朗普总统在白宫是怎么说的。
But you can also do, I mean, most people have scarves, and scarves are very good, and they can use a scarf. And we're only talking about a limited period of time. But, and it says in the recommendations, you can substitute a scarf for a mask. So if people feel that, and I think, you know, some people disagree with the mask for various reasons, and some people don't. But you can wear a scarf, you can do the masks if it makes you feel better. We have no objection to it, and some people recommend it.
另外，介于美国与中国两国呢，都受到新型冠状病毒疫情的影响而冲击到经济。那么，是否在某一些中国的进口商品上会采取减免关税的做法？对此呢，特朗普总统在白宫简报会上说，他前几天才跟中国国家主席习近平通过电话。不过在电话当中呢，大部分谈的是新冠的疫情，对这个并没有谈到这个贸易的部分。那么呢，这个习近平主席也没有向他提出要减免关税的要求。那么截至4月1号星期三中午为止呢，目前美国境内的新型冠状病毒的病例已经超过了19万人，而死亡人数也已经超过了4300人。以上是美国之音白宫记者黄耀毅发自白宫前的报道。
美国国务卿蓬佩奥表示，一位国务院官员因感染新冠病毒而去世，这是美国国务院首个死亡病例。
蓬佩奥国务卿星期二在国务院的记者会上公布了这个不幸的消息。
We've had a State Department official pass away as a result of this virus. One of our team members. We now have 3,000 Americans who've been killed. This is tragic. My prayers go out to every American and every American family impacted by this.
这是美国外交人员中因新冠病毒死亡的首个病例。蓬佩奥没有给出这位去世外交官的具体信息，或是这位外交官在哪里感染的病毒。蓬佩奥说，国务院雇员当中还有大约40-50人确诊感染新冠病毒，包括美国在海外的一些使领馆雇佣的当地员工。在中国武汉爆发的新冠疫情现在已经席卷全球，90多万人感染，数万人死亡。蓬佩奥说，从武汉撤侨开始，国务院已经从50多个国家撤离了2.6到2.7万名因疫情滞留海外的美国公民。他表示，国务院还将继续致力于帮助人在海外的本国公民，并呼吁想要回国的美国人尽快做出安排。
24/7 Repatriation Task Force will continue to bring home thousands more Americans in the coming days and weeks. At the same time, I want to deliver a message to Americans who are still abroad. We remain steadfast and committed to getting you all back.
蓬佩奥说，除了撤侨，美国也是自新冠疫情爆发以来首批为国际抗击疫情提供援助的国家。他说，2月初，国务院把将近18吨的民间机构捐助的物资运送到了武汉，并承诺向受疫情影响的国家提供1亿美元的援助，包括向中国提出援助提议。他表示，美国目前的援助已远超最初承诺，已经向多达64个国家提供了共计约2.7亿美元的援助。他还指出，美国的私营部门、非政府和慈善组织、科研人员都在帮助全球应对这场大流行病。而且美国一直致力于全球卫生和人道援助，远超中国等其他国家。
The United States remains by far the largest contributor to the World Health Organization, as we've been since 1948. Our contribution exceeded $400 million last year, 10 times that of China. The U.S. contributed nearly $1.7 billion to the UN Refugee Agency, which is helping those least able to mitigate their exposure to the virus. This compares to 1.9 million from China. UNICEF is engaged in emergency actions in dozens of countries all across the globe, including in China and in Iran. In 2019, the U.S. supported UNICEF with more than $700 million. China gave just a mere fraction of that. The World Food Program, headed by America's own David Beasley, has sent more than 85 shipments of food and personal protection equipment to 74 countries.To help them battle the virus. And we provided $8 billion in resources just last year, 42% of that organization's budget.
蓬佩奥说，美国虽然不经常谈论国际援助，但是美国民众应该了解美国对上述重要国际组织所提供的巨大援助，并引以为荣。他表示，美国将一如既往履行自身对国际组织的承诺。美国之音电视报道。
新冠疫情打乱了人们的正常生活，在美国的西海岸，一位少年正在用自己的方式抗击疫情。
3月26日，华盛顿特区颁布居家令，政府建议居民尽量留在家中，一切非必要商业暂停。
我们现在是在华盛顿特区的一个中央商业区，那平时呢中午这个时候会有很多人出来买午饭呀或者来购物，但是我们现在看到街边的这些商业都已经关门了，而且街上也没有什么人。最近几个星期，新冠病毒疫情在美国持续蔓延，确诊人数不断升高。在家办公以来，不仅要关注本地疫情的发展，还要关注全球疫情的动态。一个网站引起了我的注意，设计并不复杂，但是每隔几分钟就会更新全球疫情数据。更让人吃惊的是，创建这个网站的是西雅图市郊一名17岁的高中生。
So in total now I'm at about 180 million total visitors, and in the past 24 hours there's been about 25 million. But what most definitely separates my website is how visually appealing it is and how easy it is to get the information. So Johns Hopkins website, for example, doesn't work at all on a phone. I mean, if you try and visit their website on a phone, you're going to have a bad experience. And 80% of my traffic is from mobile users. And I feel like the majority of people on the internet, you know, when they're on the go, and they just want to see this kind of information, you know, they're on a phone. My website loads instantly, and it's perfect for viewing on a phone.
目前提供疫情信息的英文网站并不少见，但阿维的网站是在今年一月初，中国政府官方公布的武汉病例还只是个位数的时候就已经出现了。
I saw some news articles every once in a while, and then I just kind of noticed that it was just really hard to get the information, because everything was just kind of in Chinese, kind of government, kind of sources, or there was a news article every, I don't know, maybe couple days that was out of date by the time you read it. So I thought it would be kind of neat if I just made.Everything in one place and just pulled from all these different sources. And so that's what I started working on. So, as it spread, I had to evolve the website many times. I'm constantly working on it to add new features and change the way it works. Yeah, I probably spend 99% of my free time, to be honest, on this.
1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, testing. 好，现在开始了哈，现在开始。新科技让人们在对抗新冠疫情的行动中占据一些优势，同时美国的疫情不只是阿维，疫情中我们都在不断的适应调整，从每天的生活规律到工作中一些从前不成问题的细节，如今都要重新安排学习尝试。对于只有十七岁的阿维来说，学习编程和网站开发也是这样的过程。
I've been programming for about 10 years now, which is kind of wild because I'm only 17. I mean, you can learn anything online. I mean, all I did was just watch, YouTube videos and Google questions when I didn't know how to do it. I'm just going to ask questions online. I mean, any question I have, 20 other people have the exact same question. So.It's pretty easy to find an answer to most things, and that's just kind of how I learned. And I also think what's really cool about the website is that, we're at the point where we can use technology and combine it with things like global health so easily. When SARS came out or even Ebola, there wasn't a website you could go to that updated every couple minutes with the latest information from all these kind of sources.
新科技让人们在对抗新冠疫情的行动中占据一些优势。同时，美国疫情发展之迅速也让人措手不及。阿维所在的华盛顿州也颁布了居家令，餐厅和图书馆关门，学校停课至四月底，何时开学还不得而知。
Some of the teachers are doing some things online now, but there isn't really a whole system in place. If you go to colleges, a lot of them have, Zoom kind of classes and stuff like that. But I think most high schools aren't really prepared.Or to completely switch to an online kind of curriculum, but a lot of colleges are. So, it's kind of random right now, to be honest. Most people just aren't really, I'm not doing anything schoolwork wise, which is helpful because then I can work on the website a lot more without having to worry about school.
当然，每个人在疫情中都有不同的角色，担忧和责任也有所不同。阿维说，对于他这一代人来说，911和非典 SARS 都是太久远的事件，这是他们第一次经历全球大事件。他希望新冠疫情快点过去，但是在当下，他选择专注乐观。美国之音王平卡拉华盛顿报道。 加州是新冠疫情的重灾区，人口众多的洛杉矶现状如何？我们跟着美国之音记者宇宙一起去看一看。
由新冠病毒引发的这波疫情的确是百年不遇，它距离1918年的西班牙流感超过100年。位于洛杉矶东部的圣塔尼塔维斯特菲尔德购物中心是一个有200多家商店的大型室内时尚中心。然而新冠疫情来袭之后，它也只能对外关闭，各大著名百货商店都紧闭着沉重的店门，平时拥挤不堪的偌大停车场基本上是空空荡荡。这里停车不再是问题，但是购物体验也暂时不在，别有一番桃花依旧笑春风，人面不知何处去的似曾相识。位于阿祖沙市的开市客店外，顾客们推着购物车，以间隔1.8米的距离排着长龙，等待商店按人头规定放客入内。在这个美国第一大连锁会员制仓储式商店里，店员的工作内容明显增加了，清洁卫生成了关键的职责。而熙熙攘攘与自由自在的氛围似乎已经被改头换面成规规矩矩和戒备森严。非常时期，这家华人超市对顾客的要求直白明了，这里的货物虽然远说不上丰盛，不过倒也不算匮乏。收银员与顾客之间新增了一面透明隔离墙，不是天衣无缝，却也颇有创意，看得出每天抛头露面的工作人员的担忧和商家的急中生智。在这个洛杉矶县公园里，供群体活动的设施已经关闭，儿童游乐场被黄色警戒带围住，其他设施棒球场、网球场和游泳池等都是空无一人。不过公园的绿地上和树荫下并不寂寞，贪玩一族基本以家庭为单位而出动，他们有骑车的、玩球的、跑步的，还有嬉闹的儿童在追打。这里的阳光依然静好，洛杉矶县是大洛杉矶地区的一部分，除了洛杉矶县之外，大洛杉矶地区还包括城县、河边县等另外4个县在内。大洛杉矶地区是美国第二、世界第三的城市经济体，仅次于东京都会区和纽约都会区。它是国际性的金融、娱乐、媒体、文教、科学和旅游中心。新冠疫情限制了人们的活动，但是洛杉矶的商业激情依然在燃烧。在守在家里救人性命的口号下，看得见而摸不着的商业活动仍在继续。这家理财服务公司利用 Zoom 会议软件继续举行大规模培训，向专业人员和大众传播病毒检测、金融理财、劳工保障等各种相关生活信息，并在高科技的帮助下把资讯传递到各家各户。
在同一周，冠状病毒在意大利蔓延，并且在欧洲扩散。
就像全美国其他地区一样，加州和洛杉矶遇到的瓶颈仍然是疫情难以控制。加州州长纽森星期二宣布设立热线电话，帮助加州的老年人渡过难关。此前的星期一，纽森下达了行政命令，将大规模增加医护人员的数量。纽森宣布，凡是加州具有有效执照的健保专业人员、公共卫生专业人士、退休医务人员、医学院的学生和护士专业学生，以及医疗灾难反应团的成员，都欢迎加入新成立的加州卫生队。外国的医学院毕业生也获得邀请加入加州的抗疫行动。以上是美国之音记者宇宙从洛杉矶所做的报道。
新冠疫情席卷全球，和世界上许多其他城市一样，美国首都华盛顿特区原本是繁华热闹的，但现在却变成了一座空城。我们跟随记者的镜头一起去看一看。
尽管中国各地陆续复工，新冠肺炎的疫情仍在发展。这场疫情对您的家人、生活和工作计划带来什么样的冲击和影响？您所在的社区和城市目前疫情如何？欢迎您通过电邮将您录制的音频、视频或文字图片跟我们分享。我们的电邮是 mystory@voanews.com， mystory@voanews.com。也欢迎您留下您的联系方式，我们的记者会尽快与您联系。
在疫情重灾区纽约，许多医护人员面临防护装备不足的困境，但是他们依然坚守岗位。我们一起去看一看。
纽约市紧急医疗员菲尔·苏亚雷斯一直站在打击新型冠状病毒的第一线。他说，这场磨难让人精疲力竭。他向路透社说，真叫人痛心疾首。
It just wears you down, you know, it really, I mean, I've welled up in tears at times, you know, when we take somebody's loved one out of their home. Nobody's allowed to go with the patients as opposed to before. They would have a family member that could come. There's no visitors in the hospital. You can't go to the waiting room and wait. So we literally just take their loved ones, and oftentimes we know that they will never see them again alive. And these people will most likely die in a bed alone. It's profound sadness.
上星期，苏亚雷斯轮班16小时后回家。他说，那天晚上几乎他所有的病人都和新冠病毒有关。据苏亚雷斯说，在纽约市打911叫救护车的电话，在24小时内平均大约3800到4500通。
We hit an all-time record of over 7,100 emergencies in a 24-hour period. That's almost double of what we normally do, which is.Profound for New York City, you know, 7,100 emergencies in the 24-hour period, you know, and it's overwhelming.
苏亚雷斯说，在24小时内通话达到那个水平，唯一的另一次是911恐怖袭击。苏亚雷斯说，他和他在第一线的同事都非常害怕自己会受到病毒感染。
We're just mortified that we're going to come down with it.And we're going to be the, you know, whatever that 2% or, you know, that we're all hearing about, you know? And so it is quite mortifying.
纽约市的医院已经挤满感染新冠病毒病症的患者。克里斯塔尔·霍丘克是新泽西州霍利山的维塔阿纪念医院的护士。他说，尽管他的医院并没有出现个人防护设备短缺的情况，但他一直非常为遭遇这个问题的医院忧心。
We can't take care of you if we can't take care of ourselves. So I think a lot of us have accepted the fact that, you know, we're probably going to get this. It's just, you know, we want to survive, you know. We're all being exposed to it at some point.
他一直在为当地的护士缝制口罩，而且能捐出50个，他还有材料可以再做50个。莫林·梅林德做了40多年的护士，他在距离马萨诸塞州波士顿半小时车程的一家社区医院工作。他说，这辈子没见过像这样的事。
Never, never. It really is unprecedented. And yet, how the hospital has, you know, modified things and us as nurses, what we're being asked to do, and how they're trying to bring people out of retirement and just get as many people available.Everyone, at least in the healthcare, you know, side of it, are just trying to be available and help in any way we can. And so hoping that if we all do our part, we can beat this coronavirus somehow, you know, but it's going to take some more time yet. We haven't even peaked yet.
美国之音电视报道。
纽约市的一家餐厅正在筹集资金，为当地医院的医护人员提供食物。我们一起去看一看。
卢卡·迪·皮耶特罗是纽约市5家成功的意大利餐厅的老板。当州长命令关闭所有餐馆时，除了外卖和送货外，皮耶特罗决定只保留他一家餐厅营业。3月19号，有位顾客想帮忙，打电话要求订购40份餐给纽约市医院的医生和护士。
It made me realize that these people were already overwhelmed. Anything that could be done from the outside was greatly appreciated.
由此，一个想法诞生了。皮耶特罗争取了家人和员工的帮助，他们一起建立了一个网站，并开启了一个名为“为纽约前线供餐”的项目。
I had a friend help me build the website pretty much overnight. And so we put it all together, came up with a name, got people working on social media, and we've had an incredible response since then.
自从项目启动以来，为纽约前线供餐已经筹集了超过$100,000的资金，并提供了数千份餐点。
Yeah, I'm a donor. It was a very easy decision. It's kind of a win-win. Luca can keep some people employed and most importantly get some love, gratitude and food to frontline healthcare workers.
It has grown exponentially. Every day we do more deliveries.
护士们告诉皮耶特罗，他也为他们节省了宝贵的时间。护士们不再需要脱下防护装备离开医院去取食物再返回。皮耶特罗和捐助者在防护用品短缺和患者激增的情况下，是在帮助挽救生命。
We are delivering 100 meals today for the emergency room personnel.
这种迅速集中力量的倡议使每个人受益。对于皮耶特罗来说，这意味着能够继续他的生意，并通过捐助者慷慨解囊，也帮助美国新冠疫情爆发重灾区的前线医疗团队。
We're coming back every day.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Be well. Stay safe. As this effort is going on, more restaurants are reaching out, and also food vendors, coffee vendors.
亚伦·费多，从纽约市为美国之音发来的报道。
研究人员们正在测试一种智能手套，可以用手势来控制设备。
这个概念仍然让我震撼不已。
帕斯卡·李博士确实想尽了一切办法为美国宇航局测试设备。
We want astronauts to go to Mars, be effective.
我们希望宇航员前往火星，做有成效的探险家，采集岩石，检验化石，寻找生命体。所有这些事情都要灵活性。而当太空服加压以后，变得很僵硬，宇航员很难移动任何东西，他们的手指会不听使唤。
在挪威的一个会议上，李博士碰到几个可能有解决办法的工程专业学生。
这个人只戴手套，挥舞双手，非常精确地操纵这个很复杂的设备，这架无人机。这并不需要深奥的科学知识，也可以知道它具有太空科学应用性。
帕斯卡邀请我们参加宇航局夏季的霍顿火星计划，我简直不敢相信。
Which was incredible.
为了实地测验，我们去了北极的德文岛。我们把德文岛称为地球上的火星。这个手套是创建一个界面的首次尝试。这个界面能够把宇航员非常细微的手指动作无限转换为指挥机器人系统的指令。
合作成功之后，宇航局跟这些学生进行更多的合作。这些学生们后来成立了一家名为 Intention 的公司。
今年我们将测试操作其他的活动，例如对全地形车的控制。
智能手套可以做很多事情，但它无法警告有北极熊在接近。防备北极熊，那要靠阿波罗了。美国之音记者迪布尔，加利福尼亚州山景城报道。
好的，以上就是今天美国观察的全部内容，感谢您的收看，我们明天节目再见。今天是4月2号，星期四，欢迎收看《美国观察》。白宫新冠工作小组预计，美国新冠疫情的死亡人数可能达到10万到24万人。我们请美国之音白宫记者黄耀毅为我们介绍。
星期一，国家的过敏以及传染病预防研究所的主任佛契博士说，如由于病毒的感染力呢，预期新冠的疫情在今年秋天会卷土重来，恶度爆发。此外呢，在星期二的白宫新闻简报会上，白宫的官员也说，在如果每一个美国人都能够在防疫工作上做到完美的情况之下，美国境内因为新型冠状病毒死亡的人数可能会介于10万人到24万人之间。不过现在美国国内依然有人认为说，政府应该采取不作为，不要让经济停止，继续经济活动，让病毒扩散之后呢，人们会自然而然地产生抵抗力。不过呢，根据白宫专家的分析，如果政府采取不作为的做法的话，最终将会导致美国死150万到220万人。我们来看一下白宫新型冠状病毒工作小组的协调官比尔克斯博士在白宫简报会上是怎么说的。
Of course, this is a projection, and it's a projection based on using very much what's happened in Italy and then looking at all the models. And so, as you saw on that slide, that was our real number, that 100,000 to 200,000. And we think that that is the range. We really believe and hope every day that we can do a lot better than that. Because that's not assuming 100% of every American does everything that they're supposed to be doing.But I think that's possible.
比尔克斯博士在白宫的简报上表示呢，这个假设是基于说，现在所有的美国人都100%在防疫的这个工作上面呢做到尽善尽美，十全十美。那不过呢，我们现在知道，实际上还有很多的美国人并没有这样子的做。那例如说，像是特朗普总统的支持者呢，基督教的牧师小杰瑞法威尔呢，他就宣布重开他的基督教的学校自由大学的校园。那么呢，有学生的家长在推特上建议他不要这样做，还受到法威尔牧师的斥责。根据《纽约时报》3月29号星期天的报道，已经有一名自由大学的学生确诊感染了新型冠状病毒，有3名正在接受检测，另外有8名已经进行了自我隔离。特朗普总统在星期二的白宫简报会上则是呼吁，对于美国人民来说，在接下来的30天遵守这些指导方针是绝对重要的，这是生死攸关的问题。他并且说呢，未来的2周将会十分的关键。我们看一下特朗普总统在白宫的新闻简报会上是怎么说的。
I want every American to be prepared for the hard days that lie ahead. We're going to go through a very tough 2 weeks. And then hopefully, as the experts are predicting, as I think a lot of us are predicting after having studied it so hard, you're going to start seeing some real light at the end of the tunnel. But this is going to be a very painful, very, very painful 2 weeks.
那么从这个疫情在美国扩散以来呢，我们看到白宫官员一直在告诉民众说，美国民众不需要携带口罩，如果你没有生病的话。但是呢，随着美国的这个新冠病毒的疫情快速的扩散，现在我们在街上也可以看到越来越多的美国人会戴着口罩出门。那么呢，美国的公共卫生专家也开始依据日本、韩国、台湾等国的例子呢，来表示来讨论说，美国民众是否可以来携带，或者是应该要来戴口罩。那么白宫新型冠状病毒工作小组的协调官比尔克斯博士则表示呢，他在星期二的时候说，现在这个白宫的新冠病毒协调小组正在考虑是否要修改建议美国民众不要戴口罩的政策。那么我们特朗普总统呢，在这个白宫的简报会上也特别针对美国民众是否应该全民戴口罩发表了他的看法。我们看一下特朗普总统在白宫是怎么说的。
You can get a mask, but you can also do, I mean, most people have scarves, and scarves are very good, and they can use a scarf. And we're only talking about a limited period of time. But, and it says in the recommendations you can substitute a scarf for a mask. So if people feel that, and I think, you know, some people disagree with a mask for various reasons, and some people don't. But you can wear a scarf, you can do the masks if it makes you feel better. We have no objection to it, and some people recommend it.
另外，介于美国与中国两国呢，都受到新型冠状病毒疫情的影响而冲击到经济。那么，是否在某一些中国的进口商品上会采取减免关税的做法？对此呢，特朗普总统在白宫简报会上说，他前几天才跟中国国家主席习近平通过电话。不过在电话当中呢，大部分谈的是新冠的疫情，并对这个并没有 谈到这个贸易的部分，那么呢，这个习近平主席也没有向他提出要减免关税的要求。那么截至4月1号星期三中午为止呢，目前美国境内的新型冠状病毒的病例已经超过了19万人，而死亡人数也已经超过了4300人。以上是美国之音白宫记者黄耀毅发自白宫前的报道。
美国国务卿蓬佩奥表示，一位国务院官员因感染新冠病毒而去世，这是美国国务院首个死亡病例。
蓬佩奥国务卿星期二在国务院的记者会上公布了这个不幸的消息。
We've had a State Department official pass away as a result of this virus, one of our team members. We now have 3,000 Americans who've been killed. This is tragic. My prayers go out to every American and every American family impacted by this.
这是美国外交人员中因新冠病毒死亡的首个病例。蓬佩奥没有给出这位去世外交官的具体信息，或是这位外交官在哪里感染的病毒。蓬佩奥说，国务院雇员当中还有大约40-50人确诊感染新冠病毒，包括美国在海外的一些使领馆雇用的当地员工。在中国武汉爆发的新冠疫情现在已经席卷全球，90多万人感染，数万人死亡。蓬佩奥说，从武汉撤侨开始，国务院已经从50多个国家撤离了2.6到2.7万名因疫情滞留海外的美国公民。他表示，国务院还将继续致力于帮助人在海外的本国公民，并呼吁想要回国的美国人尽快做出安排。
24/7 Repatriation Task Force will continue to bring home thousands more Americans in the coming days and weeks.At the same time, I want to deliver a message to Americans who are still abroad. We remain steadfast.And committed to getting you all back.
蓬佩奥说，除了撤侨，美国也是自新冠疫情爆发以来首批为国际抗击疫情提供援助的国家。他说，二月初，国务院把将近18吨的民间机构捐助的物资运送到了武汉，并承诺向受疫情影响的国家提供$1亿的援助，包括向中国提出援助提议。他表示，美国目前的援助已远超最初承诺。已经向多达64个国家提供了共计约$2.7亿的援助。他还指出，美国的私营部门、非政府和慈善组织、科研人员都在帮助全球应对这场大流行病，而且美国一直致力于全球卫生和人道援助，远超中国等其他国家。
The United States remains by far the largest contributor to the World Health Organization, as we've been since 1948. Our contribution exceeded $400 million last year.10 times that of China. The U.S. contributed nearly $1.7 billion to the UN Refugee Agency, which is helping those least able to mitigate their exposure to the virus. This compares to $1.9 million from China. UNICEF is engaged in emergency actions in dozens of countries all across the globe, including in China and in Iran. In 2019, the U.S. supported UNICEF with more than $700 million.China gave just a mere fraction of that. The World Food Program, headed by America's own David Beasley, has sent more than 85 shipments of food and personal protection equipment to 74 countries to help them battle the virus. And we provided $8 billion in resources just last year, 42% of that organization's budget.
蓬佩奥说，美国虽然不经常谈论国际援助，但是美国民众应该了解美国对上述重要国际组织所提供的巨大援助，并引以为荣。他表示，美国将一如既往履行自身对国际组织的承诺。美国之音电视报道。
新冠疫情打乱了人们的正常生活，在美国的西海岸，一位少年正在用自己的方式抗击疫情。
3月26日，华盛顿特区颁布居家令，政府建议居民尽量留在家中，一切非必要商业暂停。
我们现在是在华盛顿特区的一个中央商业区，那平时呢，中午这个时候会有很多人出来买午饭呀，或者来购物，但是我们现在看到街边的这些商业都已经关门了，而且街上也没有什么人。
最近几个星期，新冠病毒疫情在美国持续蔓延，确诊人数不断升高。在家办公以来，不仅要关注本地疫情的发展，还要关注全球疫情的动态。一个网站引起了我的注意，
设计并不复杂，但是每隔几分钟就会更新全球疫情数据。更让人吃惊的是，创建这个网站的是西雅图市郊一名17岁的高中生。
So in total now I'm at about 180 million total visitors.And in the past 24 hours, there's been about 25 million. But what most definitely separates my website is how visually appealing it is and how easy it is to get the information. So Johns Hopkins website, for example, doesn't work at all on a phone. I mean, if you try and visit their website on a phone, you're going to have a bad experience. And 80% of my traffic is from mobile users. And I feel like the majority of people on the internet, you know, when they're on the go and they just want to see this kind of information, you know, they're on a phone. My website loads instantly.And it's perfect for viewing on a phone.
目前提供疫情信息的英文网站并不少见，但阿伟的网站是在今年一月初，中国政府官方公布的武汉病例还只是个位数的时候就已经出现了。
I saw some like, you know, news articles every once in a while, and then I just kind of noticed that it was just really hard to get the information, because, you know, everything was just kind of in Chinese, kind of government.Kind of sources, or you know, there was a news article every, I don't know, maybe couple days that was like out of date by the time you read it. So I thought it would be kind of neat if I just made everything in one place and just pulled from all these different sources. And so that's what I started working on. So you know, as it spread, you know, I had to evolve the website many times. And yeah, I'm constantly working on it to add new features and change the way it works.Yeah, I probably spend like 99% of my free time, to be honest, on this.
1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, testing. 好，现在开始了哈，现在开始。新科技让人们在对抗新冠疫情的行动中占据一些优势，同时美国的疫情
不只是阿维，疫情中我们都在不断的适应调整，从每天的生活规律到工作中一些从前不成问题的细节，如今都要重新安排、学习、尝试。对于只有17岁的阿维来说，学习编程和网站开发也是这样的过程。
I've been programming for about 10 years now, which is kind of wild because I'm only 17. I mean, you can learn anything online. I mean, all I did was just watch, you know, YouTube videos and Google questions when I didn't know how to do it, and just kind of ask questions online. I mean, any question I have, 20 other people have the exact same question. So.It's pretty easy to find an answer to most things, and that's just kind of how I learned. And I also think what's really cool about the website is that, you know, we're at the point where we can use technology and combine it with things like global health so easily. You know, when like SARS came out or even Ebola, you know, there wasn't a website you could go to that updated every couple minutes with like the latest information from all these kind of sources.
新科技让人们在对抗新冠疫情的行动中占据一些优势，同时美国疫情发展之迅速也让人措手不及。阿维所在的华盛顿州也颁布了居家令，餐厅和图书馆关门，学校停课至四月底，何时开学还不得而知。
Some of the teachers are doing some things online now, but there isn't really like a whole system in place. Like if you go to colleges, a lot of them have, you know, Zoom kind of classes and stuff like that, butI think most high schools aren't really prepared to completely switch to an online kind of curriculum, while a lot of colleges are. So, you know, it's kind of random right now, to be honest. Most people just aren't really, like, I'm not doing anything schoolwork-wise, which is helpful because then I can work on the website a lot more without having to worry about school.
当然，每个人在疫情中都有不同的角色，担忧和责任也有所不同。阿维说，对于他这一代人来说，911和非典 SARS 都是太久远的事件，这是他们第一次经历全球大事件。他希望新冠疫情快点过去，但是在当下，他选择专注、乐观。美国之音王平、卡拉，华盛顿报道。
加州是新冠疫情的重灾区，人口众多的洛杉矶现状如何？我们跟着美国之音记者宇宙一起去看一看。
由新冠病毒引发的这波疫情的确是百年不遇，它距离1918年的西班牙流感超过100年。位于洛杉矶东部的圣塔尼塔维斯特菲尔德购物中心是一个有200多家商店的大型室内时尚中心。然而新冠疫情来袭之后，它也只能对外关闭，各大著名百货商店都紧闭着沉重的店门。 平时拥挤不堪的偌大停车场基本上是空空荡荡，这里停车不再是问题，但是购物体验也暂时不在，别有一番桃花依旧笑春风，人面不知何处去的似曾相识。位于阿祖沙市的开市客店外，顾客们推着购物车，以间隔1.8米的距离排着长龙，等待商店按人头规定放客入内。在这个美国第一大连锁会员制仓储式商店里，店员的工作内容明显增加了，清洁卫生成了关键的职责。而熙熙攘攘与自由自在的氛围似乎已经被改头换面成规规矩矩和戒备森严。非常时期，这家华人超市对顾客的要求直白明了，这里的货物虽然远说不上丰盛，不过倒也不算匮乏。收银员与顾客之间新增了一面透明隔离墙，不是天衣无缝，却也颇有创意，看得出每天抛头露面的工作人员的担忧和商家的急中生智。在这个洛杉矶县公园里，供群体活动的设施已经关闭，儿童游乐场被黄色警戒带围住，其他设施棒球场、网球场和游泳池等都是空无一人。不过公园的绿地上和树荫下并不寂寞，看玩一族基本以家庭为单位而出动，他们有骑车的、玩球的、跑步的，还有嬉闹的儿童在追打。这里的阳光依然静好，洛杉矶县是大洛杉矶地区的一部分，除了洛杉矶县之外，大洛杉矶地区还包括城县、河边县等另外四个县在内。大洛杉矶地区是美国第二、世界第三的城市经济体，仅次于东京都会区和纽约都会区。它是国际性的金融、娱乐、媒体、文教、科学和旅游中心。新冠疫情限制了人们的活动，但是洛杉矶的商业激情依然在燃烧。在守在家里救人性命的口号下，看得见而摸不着的商业活动仍在继续。这家理财服务公司利用 Zoom 会议软件继续举行大规模培训，向专业人员和大众传播病毒检测、金融理财、劳工保障等各种相关生活信息，并在高科技的帮助下把资讯传递到各家各户。
在同一周，冠状病毒在意大利蔓延，并且在欧洲扩散。
就像全美国其他地区一样，加州和洛杉矶遇到的瓶颈仍然是疫情难以控制。加州州长纽森星期二宣布设立热线电话，帮助加州的老年人渡过难关。此前的星期一，纽森下达了行政命令，将大规模增加医护人员的数量。纽森宣布，凡是加州具有有效执照的健保专业人员、公共卫生专业人士、退休医务人员、医学院的学生和护士专业学生，以及医疗灾难反应团的成员，都欢迎加入新成立的加州卫生队。外国的医学院毕业生也获得邀请加入加州的抗疫行动。以上是美国之音记者宇宙从洛杉矶所做的报道。
新冠疫情席卷全球，和世界上许多其他城市一样，美国首都华盛顿特区原本是繁华热闹的，但现在却变成了一座空城。我们跟随记者的镜头一起去看一看。
尽管中国各地陆续复工，新冠肺炎的疫情仍在发展。这场疫情对您的家人、生活和工作计划带来什么样的冲击和影响？您所在的社区和城市目前疫情如何？欢迎您通过电邮将您录制的音频、视频或文字图片跟我们分享。我们的电邮是 mystory@voanews.com mystory@voanews.com。也欢迎您留下您的联系方式，我们的记者会尽快与您联系。
在疫情重灾区纽约，许多医护人员面临防护装备不足的困境，但是他们依然坚守岗位。我们一起去看一看。
纽约市紧急医疗员菲尔·苏亚雷斯一直站在打击新型冠状病毒的第一线。他说，这场磨难让人精疲力竭。他向路透社说，真叫人痛心疾首。
It just wears you down, you know, I've welled up in tears at times, you know, when we take somebody's loved one out of their home. Nobody's allowed to go with the patients as opposed to before. They would have a family member that could come. There's no visitors in the hospital. You can't go to the waiting room and wait. So we literally just take their loved ones, and oftentimes we know that they will never see them again alive. And these people will most likely die in a bed alone. It's profound sadness.
上星期，苏亚雷斯轮班16小时后回家。他说，那天晚上几乎他所有的病人都和新冠病毒有关。据苏亚雷斯说，在纽约市打911叫救护车的电话，在24小时内平均大约3800到4500通。
We hit an all-time record of over 7,100 emergencies in a 24-hour period. That's almost double of what we normally do, which is.Profound for New York City, you know, 7,100 emergencies in the 24-hour period, you know, and it's overwhelming.
苏亚雷斯说，在24小时内通话达到那个水平，唯一的另一次是911恐怖袭击。苏亚雷斯说，他和他在第一线的同事都非常害怕自己会受到病毒感染。
We're just mortified that we're going to come down with it.And we're going to be the, you know, whatever that 2% or, you know, that we're all hearing about, you know. And so it is quite mortifying.
纽约市的医院已经挤满感染新冠病毒病症的患者。克里斯塔尔·霍丘克是新泽西州霍利山的维塔阿纪念医院的护士。他说，尽管他的医院并没有出现个人防护设备短缺的情况，但他一直非常为遭遇这个问题的医院忧心。
We can't take care of you if, We can't take care of ourselves. So I think a lot of us have accepted the fact that, you know, we're probably going to get this. It's just, you know, we want to survive, you know. We're all being exposed to it at some point.
他一直在为当地的护士缝制口罩，而且能捐出50个，他还有材料可以再做50个。莫林·梅林德做了40多年的护士，他在距离马萨诸塞州波士顿半小时车程的一家社区医院工作。他说，这辈子没见过像这样的事。
Never, never. It really is unprecedented. And yet, how the hospital has, you know, modified things, and us as nurses, what we're being asked to do, and how they're trying to bring people out of retirement and just get as many people available.Everyone, at least in the healthcare, you know, side of it, are just trying to be available and help in any way we can. And so hoping that if we all do our part, we can beat this coronavirus somehow, you know, but it's going to take some more time yet. We haven't even peaked yet.
美国之音电视报道。
纽约市的一家餐厅正在筹集资金，为当地医院的医护人员提供食物。我们一起去看一看。
卢卡迪·皮耶特罗是纽约市5家成功的意大利餐厅的老板。当州长命令关闭所有餐馆时，除了外卖和送货外，皮耶特罗决定只保留他一家餐厅营业。3月19号，有位顾客想帮忙，打电话要求订购40份餐给纽约市医院的医生和护士。
It made me realize that these people were already overwhelmed. Anything that could be done from the outside was greatly appreciated.
由此，一个想法诞生了。皮耶特罗争取了家人和员工的帮助，他们一起建立了一个网站，并开启了一个名为“为纽约前线供餐”的项目。
I had a friend help me build the website pretty much overnight. And so we put it all together, came up with the name, got people working on social media, and we've had an incredible response since then.
自从项目启动以来，为纽约前线供餐已经筹集了超过$100,000的资金，并提供了数千份餐点。
Yeah, I'm a donor. It was a very easy decision. It's kind of a win-win. Luca can keep some people employed and most importantly get some love, gratitude and food to frontline healthcare workers.
It has grown exponentially. Every day we do more deliveries.
护士们告诉皮耶特罗，他也为他们节省了宝贵的时间。护士们不再需要脱下防护装备离开医院去取食物再返回。皮耶特罗和捐助者在防护用品短缺和患者激增的情况下，是在帮助挽救生命。
We are delivering 100 meals today for the emergency room personnel.
这种迅速集中力量的倡议使每个人受益。对于皮耶特罗来说，这意味着能够继续他的生意，并通过捐助者慷慨解囊，也帮助美国新冠疫情爆发重灾区的前线医疗团队。
We're coming back every day.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Be well. Stay safe. As this effort is going on, more restaurants are reaching out, and also food vendors, coffee vendors.
亚伦·费多从纽约市为美国之音发来的报道。
人员们正在测试一种智能手套，可以用手势来控制设备。
这个概念仍然让我震撼不已。
帕斯卡·李博士确实想尽了一切办法为美国宇航局测试设备。
我们希望宇航员前往火星，做有成效的探险家，采集岩石，检验化石，寻找生命体。所有这些事情都要灵活性。而当太空服加压以后，变得很僵硬，宇航员很难移动任何东西，他们的手指会不听使唤。
在挪威的一个会议上，李博士碰到几个可能有解决办法的工程专业学生。
这个人只戴手套，挥舞双手，非常精确地操纵这个很复杂的设备，这架无人机。这并不需要深奥的科学知识，也可以知道它具有太空科学应用性。
帕斯卡邀请我们参加宇航局夏季的霍顿火星计划，我简直不敢相信。
Which was incredible.
为了实地测验，我们去了北极的德文岛。我们把德文岛称为地球上的火星。这个手套是创建一个界面的首次尝试。这个界面能够把宇航员非常细微的手指动作无限转换为指挥机器人系统的指令。
合作成功之后，宇航局跟这些学生进行更多的合作。这些学生们后来成立了一家名为 N-Tension 的公司。
今年我们将测试操作其他的活动，例如对全地形车的控制。
智能手套可以做很多事情，但它无法警告有北极熊在接近。防备北极熊，那要靠阿波罗了。美国之音记者迪布尔，加利福尼亚州山景城报道。
好的，以上就是今天美国观察的全部内容，感谢您的收看，我们明天节目再见。